This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's a month further than when we last spoke. It's now April. When we last spoke, it was March. I mean, it's just incredible. It's the March of time. And today's already the 3rd of April, and it's going to be a nice short week because today's Tuesday, even though it feels like Monday for a lot of people. Lots of cars on the road this morning. Ooh. Apparently, there was some screw-up on the N3 highway yesterday. I don't know if you heard about this in the news. But there was some kind of protest. Nobody's really sure what the protest was, but the protesters...
Oh, right, yes.
The protesters ended up just looting a bunch of trucks and setting them on fire, which sounds to me like opportunistic crime rather than protest. It's just like a chance to steal from cars, right?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, so it inconvenienced a whole lot of people who were heading back from the coast in KZN yesterday. Can you imagine the nightmare of that? Because that road's tough enough. At the end of a holiday is always horrible because you don't want to go home. Like, you've had a great holiday, everybody's having a lovely time, things are terrific, and then you have to sit in traffic because there's some criminal activity going up ahead, you know? It's madness. It doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, there's what happened.
One way to kick things off.
Yeah, I just thought like it was in the news yesterday. And of course, the big story of yesterday was, and I didn't know whether this was something that had happened or not until Ben let me know, but Winnie Madikizela-Mandela died yesterday. And thank goodness Ben was paying attention to the news, because I didn't even realize. And that was at, what, 2-3 in the afternoon?
Man.
Yeah, I was going to the third session of Play at the Wanderers, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I first heard it.
Did you see it on social media or hear it from somebody?
Some guy in the box yesterday, I think he was a close friend or something, because he literally got a message and sort of like left.
Well, you know, it didn't take long for it to spread all over the place and for a lot of people to hear about it. But, you know, this woman has been a part of our lives for such a long time. I didn't even realize she was so ill.
Yeah, me either. She looks so good as well, the last time I saw her in the media.
And I think that was around her 80th birthday party. And there were all these images of her, and we were all surprised by how youthful and happy she looked.
Yeah, she looked good. I don't know. I mean, it sort of came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, and then the official statement from the family said that she had been in and out of hospital this entire year.
Sure.
Yeah, she was 81.
81 years old. That's a good innings, but it's not by any means a long life. I mean, there are people who are living well into their hundreds now. Mm. But I suppose she also had a tough life, you know, in many ways. She was the one who kept things together while so many struggle leaders were in prison. I thought about her. She's really, there are a couple people left, and then that generation's finished. She's one of the last ones to go. There's Desmond Tutu. There's Raymond Mhlaba is, I think, still alive. And that's it. Then they're gone. That generation's finished. Then the struggle really does not have any leaders left from that time. Any of their historical leaders are finished. You know? Something to think about.
Yeah.
I got really annoyed, though, yesterday, because I put up a message on Twitter. I said, my condolences to Winnie Madikizela-Mandela's family. What did I say? I said condolences. She lived a controversial life. Because it was controversial doesn't always mean bad, right? I mean, controversial just means people were against or for you. And remember, after the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and that whole Stompy Sepe thing, there were a lot of people who didn't like Winnie all over the world, that she was a child murderer. And remember, she wasn't ever exonerated. She was just pardoned by the TRC for any past crimes. She was, however, the only one of the ANC brave enough to go and stand before the TRC, which deserves huge credit. Now, I knew her at least tangentially. I knew, and I met her a couple of times, and I sort of knew of her because of family members who I knew. You know, in terms of personally, kind of, there was a 2-3 degrees of separation there. So I wasn't just doing what a lot of people on social media do when they get politically correct. Well, I said a controversial life, but a life of impact, which I think is a compliment. It's paying tribute. And then I finished it with rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I suppose it's just because I'm white, but
of course, yeah,
there was such an opprobrium and such a flow of misery and negativity on Twitter. I just deleted it eventually. I was like, you know what? Actually, I can say this quietly on my own. I don't need to share this in the cesspool that is Twitter. I don't need to share this with a bunch of mongoloids who are tearing each other to pieces like gladiators in the arena. I'll sit in the balcony and wave. And that's exactly what I did. I went in and deleted my tweet, and I've actually decided that is the last tweet you're going to see from me that has anything to do with anything other than cliffcentral.com and promoting our channel. That's it. I'm done. There is not a single thing of usefulness that is going to come from me on Twitter anymore. It's done. It's over.
No, I don't think it's a race thing. I think...
Well, it seemed to be from the race comments. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, people are always very emotional in situations like these. And I know you're always one to look at rational thinking and logic in situations like these. But people are guided by emotion. We've seen it time and time again.
I was being a little bit emotional too.
Yeah. Everyone is sensitive. You know? I think it is the word controversial.
You could have said, rest in peace, Winnie Mandela. You really were an icon. And people would say, you can't claim her. Who do you think you are? That's exactly the response.
I don't think so.
Well, I hope you're right, Sia. I really hope you're right. Because if it is that, then we have lost our ability to temper.
Yeah, but that was gone a while ago. I mean, let's be honest.
Because as well, I don't mean to be insensitive in a situation like this, but I once saw, ironically, this tweet as well that made me laugh that said something along the lines of, judging by all the speeches made at funerals, you would think hell was empty.
Yeah.
You're never allowed to say
people
anything.
People are so unrealistic. I mean, let's just take, for example, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago when Stephen Hawking died. Here's a guy I really admired. Here's a guy who's changed the world for the better. He didn't lead a very controversial life. He certainly wasn't involved in crime or in politics. He was a scientist, right? He might have had a colorful personal life, and he might have gone to strip club once or twice, and he had a sense of humor. But this is not the kind of person who was controversial.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the day after he was dead, we were joking about him.
Mm. Sure.
And I didn't see anyone losing their shit and becoming a complete basket case because of it. Because we kind of understand that humor must accompany pain. That's how humans deal with it. I know full well, if I had to go on Twitter now, and it's mostly because of the environment on Twitter, it's got very little to do with, you know, because that's not where the clever people are. They really are not. So if I go on Twitter now and I start making jokes about Winnie, it would not go down well.
Not at all.
See, because we have different standards in our head for different people. And when I say we, I don't mean, you know, sensible people. I mean crazy people. And what Sia was saying just now is not an excuse. Like emotional, right? People get emotional. They get caught up in the emotion of everything there. But who's to say your emotion is more important than mine? Why do you, if you're just some 600-person idiot on Twitter, by 600-person, I mean that's your following. Mm-hmm. It's probably, you know, your friends, plus you've bribed a couple of others to follow you as well. 600, I mean, I can't believe some of these people, these ignoramai that I saw on there. I can't believe anyone follows them. But I go on here, and someone is like criticizing my comments about Winnie. First of all, I don't know that they knew her. I don't know that they ever met her. I don't know that they've ever read a history book. I don't know that they have any idea of what kinds of things Winnie got up to in her life. Whether they even saw the movie, which a lot of people, including Winnie, said she didn't like. So I don't know where their information comes from, but somehow they think they're in a position to have more of a say than me. And I think to myself, well, I don't think I have more of a say than you, but it's interesting that you don't think that way. Which tells you the whole story. Like someone believes on some unknown basis, They believe that their opinion or their feelings in a particular matter outweigh my ability to say something. And in fact, that I should not say something. So you've won, idiots. I want to point this out very loud and very clear. You've won. I am not dipping my toe in your filthy, dirty, rotten, turd-filled swimming pool anymore. Twitter, I'm finished with you. And I want nothing to do with the kinds of conversations that happen there. But I do hope that the people who matter in the world, because most people on Twitter don't matter. They really don't. You think you've got 35 followers and you suddenly are an important influencer. You are not important. I hope that all the people who go onto Twitter as a source of news don't start to think that the Twitter world is the real world, because that's not where the advanced thinking is happening. That's where the retrograde thinking is happening. That's where the shit in society has discovered a way of making itself heard, like it used to be in the comments section of the News 24 articles. Mm-hmm. And then they shut that down. And people like this should be sitting on the side of a street, screaming and hollering, standing on a soapbox. This is the only place that's appropriate, and we can drive past them and ignore them.
Well, you still have me thinking from a clip you played last week during Melanie Bala's interview, and it was Stephen Fry discussing this Pandora's box known as the internet. As much as we are making great advances and how it was meant to bring us together, I think it's the beauty and the curse of the position that we're in.
Here's the moment, and I hate that this became about... Because it was not about me. It should not have been about me. Some people made it about me, and now I'm gone from Twitter, so I don't know what they're saying. But it's about Winnie Mandela. Here's a woman who I was, like everybody else in the country, the biggest news story is Winnie Madikizela Mandela is dead. She's died. And instead of us all being able to share our tributes, certain tributes are just way too noisy, and certain tributes should be shut down. And I'm not allowed an opinion, and you are, and this one isn't, and that one isn't. You know, fuck you.
Basically.
Fuck you. Because you don't know how I felt about Winnie Mandela, and now you won't know on Twitter. And I actually was, I thought about her all day yesterday, and now I feel like somehow you're just not interested in my opinion on her, or that you think that your opinion outweighs mine. Fuck you. You know? This woman mattered to all of us. She didn't just matter to some douchebag on Twitter. And if that's not an appropriate place for me to say that, then F you again for making it such an ugly place. Because you don't understand how to share things. Your parents obviously didn't teach you how to share. If you even had parents. Because you seem to have been raised by wild animals.
Well,
which is why you spell like that.
I also don't think you have to necessarily say you're washing your hands and that's it. You can always just tweet and get off. You know, just know how to control your circle and what you want to be influenced by. You know, that's also being toxic, scrolling and getting all of these opinions and. Tweet and get out. That's all. Don't engage.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. A lot of people saying, I reiterate, Twitter is merely a soapbox for fuckwits. And someone else saying, well put, Gareth, I think your Winnie comment was pertinent and real, but not worth casting pearl before swine, K. Yeah. Well, that's about right. You don't share great ideas with dumb people.
I don't know. Humor me with this, and maybe it might be a naive perspective, but the way I look at social media overall is it's also a great way to understand the times and the society we live in. Because as much as, yes, every single Tom, Dick, and Jabulani now has a voice, you also get to get a gauge of, shucks, so really this is what is going on in the world?
But it really isn't, because a lot of these are very damaged people, and a lot of them seem mentally ill to me, and they don't seem like the kind of people you should be using a thermometer to gauge the temperature of society.
But these are the people who, you know, that's why you get this person screaming and shouting in traffic and throwing the zap sign at you. And this is why you get people burning things in the middle of the street instead of protesting or showing their frustration in a constructive manner.
I mean, I had a really interesting weekend. I see what you're angling at here, Sia, and I don't think you're wrong. But that is a terrible picture of what humanity is then.
Oh, but it is a picture nonetheless, so, you know. So, rather the devil you know.
Yeah, but this plays into the cynicism that we often try to eschew on this show, despite the fact that we, you know, I mean, on a good day, I have a very optimistic view of
humanity. Are you talking to the guy who brings a positive story?
Yeah, you do. But it sounds to me like you're arguing against your own position.
Not even. I'm just very realistic with things.
The point is, if that is what we are, there is no excuse anymore, because those people who are busy doing that on Twitter should be spending their time researching and reading and learning and improving themselves. You got to realize you can't be a basic knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing idiot for the rest of your life. If you want to get ahead, tearing other people down, shouting and screaming, behaving like a moron, setting things on fire is not going to make you better, and it's not going to improve your life.
Yeah.
I mean, this is obvious stuff.
But the Gareth, people don't understand that hard work leads to things. A lot of people just believe the easiest thing is the only thing, because that's all they care about. All the stuff you're saying now, it makes sense to a certain group of people who understand certain values. But to the general people out there being rabble-roused by terrible politicians, they'll never care about that. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And it's great to talk like this. It's great to have these conversations.
Well, you know what?
They don't care about this kind of stuff.
You're probably right, because look at their lives. I mean, I don't believe for a second that a lot of the people who are the biggest noise bags on social media, I don't believe that they're happy people. I don't imagine that they've got great lives. I don't imagine that they wake up in Egyptian cotton sheets and that they go to sleep at night with a full stomach. I imagine that they're actually leading awful lives, and I feel bad for them as a result of that. And I don't mean that in some patronizing way. I mean it as in, if they felt better about themselves, maybe they'd feel better about the world, and maybe they'd add value rather than extracting ugliness. That would be nice. That would be a start.
It would be ideal.
But we can't help everybody, right?
Mm.
So I like to think I had the most fascinating conversation on Sunday evening at dinner. We were talking about artificial intelligence and what could happen. And when we get to the stage where humans and robots, because robots are coming,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get to a stage where the robots are able to assimilate human behavior into their programming, their artificial intelligence, and they'll be able to think and even replicate a kind of emotional reaction to things. They'll be able to show a form of behavior that will roughly mirror that of humans. Now, once they can do that, once the robots have, because they'll be obviously very controlled, and robots will always exact the optimum response from their human counterpart. They'll know how much to temper their emotion with rationality. And they'll throw in just about enough emotion to convince dumb humans that they care about them, which is all you need to do. And when that happens, we were talking about what it'll mean for humanity, because there will be two kinds of human then. Really rich people, really evolved and scientifically immersed people will start to mess with their genes to create super people. They'll engineer their children to be faster, cleverer, you know, more in touch with expressing themselves in an articulate way. There'll be things that will happen to humans at that stage. Not all humans, but a few humans that will make them so superior to the rest of us that we'll all be left behind. And the ones who'll be left behind, obviously, the first ones to be left behind are going to be these emotional creatures who don't understand the world around them, who aren't able to articulate sensibly their position in the world. They'll be left behind. And I do fear that we'll end up in a kind of two sorts of human situation. It won't be about race or about tribe or about creed or about language anymore. It'll be the wealthy, because they'll obviously employ the people who are smart to help them stay ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are smart will stay ahead because they have the means of getting there. And the rest, and I'm talking about super smart. At this point, you know, you might be 2% smarter than anyone else. You might be just 1 or 2% smarter than, but by the time that we start genetically engineering these super people, They'll be 5, 10, 15, 20% smarter than us. I mean, the rest of us will never catch up. And that's going to be terrifying because we're going to have to develop rules that make it feel like we're all the same when clearly we're not anymore. And then we won't be the same. We won't be the same species anymore. There'll be two different kinds of human. And I don't know how we're going to deal with that. But this was the fascinating conversation I was having on Sunday. And then you go on Twitter and you're like, oh, no. Okay, no, we've got no chance.
Exactly.
Like, we can't have these conversations. That's too advanced. We've got to go back to trolls on the internet. Anyway, F you, Gareth, for thinking Winnie's passing is more important right now. My gut being wrecked again last night by my Nigerian lover bears more weight. Always refreshing to listen to you live. The downside is I can't through some of the things I find irrelevant or boring. I like my Gareth Cliff in doses and snippets. Let's see if I survive this hour.
But wow. I'm glad the relationship is still going there. I mean,
that's great.
That's true love.
That is true love.
Being gut wrecked.
Jesus.
What kind of things are you two doing to each other? That is
that's
horrendous.
True love. Don't you mind it at all.
And to refer to it like that.
Yeah.
Sure, that's not making love. That's just like primal.
Jeez.
Huh? How's that?
Do okay. You know, like, you know, Mum Winnie's death actually just kind of put a whole new different tone to the weekend that wasn't the long weekend and because can I just say, as much as I was in my feelings and it was a loss to the nation, I think I've mentioned this before, though. The church that my father used to govern in Soweto is the church where Mum Winnie used to go for Easter and Christmas. And is it selfish to then have had that thought to go, damn it, why didn't she just hold on a bit longer? Or why did my dad hold on a bit longer?
Yeah, because he's not there anymore either.
You know,
he's
I'm like,
David,
you know, he could have been presiding at the official funeral now.
Well, exactly. Or I would have loved to interview her still. She was on our list until very recently for the show. But I don't want to think of myself in a situation like this because I think that she means...
Oh, no, I was. I was thinking about my dad. I was like, this is when he writes a book. We get money. We're set for life. We're happy.
She's going to be missed. She really will. She was in many situations the conscience of the nation. I remember during the Thabo Mbeki administration, they didn't get on so well. There was that visual, which they actually showed on SABC last night, of her when she was pushed by Thabo Mbeki, you know, on the stage at a rally.
Well, it wasn't his inauguration. She arrived late.
I don't think it was his inauguration. It was one of those Siyangqoba rallies. Anyway, there was that, and she had her arguments with Jacob Zuma. Julius is going to miss her because he tapped into her support base quite a bit, you know, in order to build his own. And I think she was sort of a mentor to him in some ways. So he's going to miss her. I think a lot of us will.
And for lack of a better term, as you were alluding to slightly, with these legends of that time, they are a bit of a nunu blanket to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Things will be fine because...
Because Winnie's there.
Yes.
Oh.
And now Archbishop Tutu's still around. You know, it's a bit of a nunu blanket.
And he's not involved. I mean, the guy's... Mm. He's old now. He's really old. Anyway, we'll get into some news you need to know next. When it comes to innovation, Cliff Central's at the forefront of great technology. That's why we created the Cliff Central Unwired Earphones. Don't take our word for it. Stuff Magazine wrote this. They said, if you're a podcast fan, you should have a pair already and perhaps a spare in the car based on the price alone. How's that? Cliff Central Unwired Earphones. Connect to any smartphone, laptop or tablet. And listening to podcasts, music, and even phone calls is that much better. It's got over 10 hours of battery life. It's got a built-in microphone. It's got 3-button controllers and an ergonomic design that won't fall out of your ears when you're exercising. Plus, it's got great sound and build quality. And you can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com to see our unwired earphones. They're the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. Best of all, how much are they, Ben?
Gareth, 550 rond will get
exactly
these for you.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Just 550 ronts. Isn't that great? I think so. All right, time for us to check in on some of the news. So let's get stuck into that. The 5 things that you need to know today. No Mubs this morning. I don't know where she is. So I'll do it. First things first. We spoke about Winnie Mandela dying, and a lot of people are obviously caught up in her death at the moment, but there's an unresolved issue. The Kunu land ownership situation is still not settled. She had been locked in a fierce legal battle to claim ownership of the land, which she claimed was allocated to her in 1989. The land was donated to former President Mandela in November 1997. But in 2014, Winnie claimed that she had only just discovered the property had been registered to her ex-husband. She approached the Mthatha High Court in the Eastern Cape to decide on the ownership of the land, but her application was later dismissed. And her lawyer said she had maintained that the property is rightfully hers. But the chief of the Kunu area, Nkosikazi Nokwanele Balizulu, who lived opposite Madiba's house, said a small piece of land of the former president's property was given to her. And this had happened while Madiba was still in prison. She took the matter to the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein last year, but her lawyer said the matter had been judged on technicalities, not on its merits. So, following the Supreme Court of Appeal's dismissal of her application, the chief of the Royal House of Mandela, Mandla Mandela, said the ruling honored his late grandfather's final wishes that the Kunu residence should be managed by the executors of his estate. So it wasn't resolved then. It will obviously not be resolved now. So that one is gone. That's no longer much of a story. But it's still there. Desmond Tutu says that Madikizela Mandela refused to be barred by the imprisonment of her husband, harassment of her family by security forces, detentions, bannings, and banishment. He has paid tribute to her as a defining symbol of the struggle against apartheid. In a statement, he said that she was courageous, and her courageous defiance was deeply inspirational to him and a generation of activists. The statement concludes by wishing her to rest in peace and rise in glory. And Winnie Madikizela Mandela is not the only news story this weekend. There are some others. Did you know that Cyril goes to the same church as Jacob Zuma?
I don't know. Between...
Is this convenient? I don't know. Former President Jacob Zuma on Sunday speculated about the coincidence which saw him and Cyril Ramaphosa attend Easter services at the same church in Isikhaleni in the northern KwaZulu-Natal area this weekend. It was surprising, said the former president, Zuma, that even though we know each other really well, having served in the same political organization, we didn't agree that we were both going to this church this weekend, he said during an address at the Covenant Fellowship Church International. Ramaphosa had attended the church's Good Friday service. During his visit on Sunday, Zuma surmised that Ramaphosa had just had this gut feeling that he must come here of his own accord. On the other hand, Zuma affirmed that the church was his home province church and explained the pastor and he were practically neighbors. As such, it seemed that was a coincidence. But they go to the same church. I wonder why. What do you think? Any thoughts on that?
Slightly a photo op.
Yeah.
Well, that's after he flew on a commercial plane.
Can I tell you something? Everyone. I suddenly realized with Easter this weekend how many of my friends are religious.
Really?
They all come out of the woodwork for Easter. The rest of the year, they're like, yeah, let's drink, let's party, let's misbehave, let's do things. Suddenly on... You know, Easter weekend, people become all holier than thou.
Well, there is always that Easter and Christmas crowd.
But there's that whole crap, like, you get people who don't even like their families, and it's like, oh, family's the greatest thing. It's like, wow, because you're looking for the likes. I mean, it's the same with religion. It's like, God bless.
Yeah. I'm feeling so blessed this weekend. And they're showing pictures of children fetching Easter eggs from under bushes. The rest of the year, they hate those children. Stop it. Hypocrites.
You see a lot of that. You scroll through the feeds and you see the same kind of thing.
I suppose, you know what? It does create an opportunity for people to be shits all year long and then to forgive themselves once a year. And you just cleanse their spirits.
That's really?
Exactly what it is.
That's how they view it?
People like it. They like that idea of being reborn. They like the idea of
Reborn like Christ.
No, 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 they do. They love the idea of kind of going into the cave.
See, Gareth's right, yeah.
Purging their... It's a... You know the term scapegoat comes from?
Where?
In ancient Palestine, all the people in the village would load all their sins and all their evils onto a goat, and they'd chase it into the wilderness.
Just a random goat?
Yeah,
a
random goat.
Where was Peter people for the ethical treatment of animals around then?
They didn't exist then. Poor goats. And then the goat would inevitably die in the wilderness, and then their sins would die with it. So the idea that you can absolve yourself of responsibility and abdicate your own accountability... That was what they were all about. And then, of course, you know, Jesus is a scapegoat writ large. Because he said to humans, pile your sins on me and I'll take them away for you. So it's this constant, like, someone else is going to take responsibility for you. You don't have to take responsibility for your own bad decisions and bad life choices and sin. Someone else will take care of it for you. And I think for a lot of people, that's very appealing because they're embarrassed about their lives. They're humiliated about what little they've done or what things they've done that are bad. And so they want to purge themselves. So this time of year, you see a lot of people suddenly making their, you know, their big statement about how they, this is going to be a new start for me.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, this is my chance to fix things up and to be better. And to, you know, that kind of thing. So they're purging the bad. Which is cool, if it makes you feel better. I'm one of those people who likes to take responsibility every day, and I'm not in a position to load my sins onto someone else. So I have to deal with them. Maybe you're happier than me. I don't know. I feel pretty happy, but there we go. Sisulu has welcomed Australia's retraction of visas for farmers' comment. So apparently, the Minister of International Relations, Lindiwe Sisulu, has welcomed the retraction of a statement made by an Australian minister last month about granting visas to white South African farmers. I think these people deserve special attention, and we're certainly applying that special attention now, he said. That was Peter Dutton. Right? His comments caused a diplomatic spat between the two countries, which saw Sisulu issuing a diplomatic demarche, or course of action, to the Australian High Commission in South Africa. An Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and Foreign Minister Julie Bishop have since retracted the comments made by Dutton. Now, someone has to explain this to me. We have a bill in Parliament. This is not just someone talking, which talks about expropriation without compensation, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, that if you're a farmer, the government have got you in their sights. They're going to want to take your property at some point. Not everybody's, but they're going to come for some property. That's even worse that you don't know everybody, because it means, could it be me? Might it not be me? You can't work in uncertainty. Farmers plan 6 years in advance. They have to buy seeds and plant crops, or they have to let their lambs or their cows or whatever it is that they have produce the next generation. And this is a long-term thinking thing. The farmers don't just live for tomorrow. They have to live for the next 10 years minimum. What if you grow trees? You have to farm for the next 50 years. You will only, if you plant trees now, your children will probably reap the harvest of those trees. So it's not the kind of thing you can do without planning. So a lot of farmers go, all right, well, if there's expropriation without compensation, I can't farm in this country because I can't plan ahead. You know, nobody's thought of this. I'm not a farmer and I thought of this.
So, I won't see that in the headlines.
So, no, but here's the story. So this Australian minister goes, well, this seems like bullshit to me, this Peter Dutton. And he said, if any white farmers want to come to Australia, we'll give you visas. Now, why is that a problem for Lindiwe Sisulu? She should go, well, we're not looking after the farmers. If Australia do want to look after them, how can I have a problem with that?
Exactly.
No, we must keep the farmers here in uncertainty. That doesn't sound sensible to me. Like what, you're going to hold a gun to their head? Why would you welcome the retraction of those comments as if it mattered to you at all? If these farmers mattered to you, you wouldn't be threatening expropriation without compensation. So that clearly they don't matter to you. Therefore, why do you care if they want to go to Australia?
It's that whole thing about just having to be outraged. It's become such a curse.
What's that about, Lindiwe? Someone has to explain this to me. Why would anyone in the world have a problem with some other country saying, come here. Isn't that what we try to do? We try to tell people from other countries that come to South Africa. What do we say? Alive with possibility.
Yes.
Right? We make ads. And it's not just for tourists. We want immigrants who will add value to our country. So why do we have a problem with Australia doing the same thing? Why does it upset us so much? Is it because they've shown us up? Is it because to a farmer, Australia might be a more attractive proposition than Lindiwe Sisulu's South Africa? And why would it bother you? Why would it do you not want people to have freedom of movement? Why would the withdrawal of that comment and the restriction of visas please you, Lindiwe? This tells me more about you than it does about farmers. Anyway, that's the other thing in the news. And then one last story. Poor old Patricia DeLille. She's still fighting for her job.
They're still, like, bringing her back, throwing her out.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. She's still having to fight for a job despite no clear time frames as to when her disciplinary hearing will resume. I mean, this is the same thing. This is the DA now giving her no certainty. How's she going to make decisions about the future of Cape Town when her own future is uncertain? It doesn't seem sensible. Either fire her, sack her, get rid of her, or she must resign. You can't carry on like this. The DA has no idea what they're doing here. They're screwing around. So there we go. All right, let's take a quick look at the cryptocurrency market. Do you want to see it, Ben, or do you care?
Yeah.
Do you still have some cryptocurrency?
Well, not really. But, you know, it's by consistency, Gareth. We provide
this
feature. Did
you cash out?
Yeah, I guess I kind of broke even. Then I just left a bit more of the speculation fund in play.
Okay. Well, let's have a look here quickly. We've got Bitcoin currently trading at 7,312. So it's gone up a little bit since the lows of the last couple of days.
Yeah, it didn't Easter well.
No.
It's a bit like my liver, Bitcoin.
Ethereum is a ball of crap at the moment. Oh. Somewhere around $385.85.
Basically, when you drop a number 2 and you look down, there's Ethereum.
That's Ethereum, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awful. Bitcoin Gold, though, is doing nicely. It's looking very happy at $44.80. Ripple has completely broken down. There's just nothing to talk about with Ripple. It's awful. So, there we go. That's a look at IQ options and their price. What would you call it? Their price chart for the morning. In terms of where cryptocurrency is trading today. Let's get our shit together here with Ben. It's time for the sport. Are you ready? See, are you ready for the sport?
I am now, yes.
Ben spent the whole weekend paying attention to cricket, but he's excited because it's time for golf again. Right, Ben?
Oh, yes, Gareth. It is. It is Masters Week.
I've missed this music.
Yeah, every time. This is it. In April,
when the
dogwoods, the dagwoods start to flower.
There we go.
I think there's a flowers. It's anyway, it's
dagwood a sandwich?
It can be. Depending on where you are and what your income bracket is.
And aren't you thinking of Tiger Woods?
Also, yeah. Tiger's playing. Tiger's back. And because of Tiger, well, the Masters is going to be more expensive to go to than previous years. If you are lucky enough to get a ticket to the Masters, there's a good chance you're going to be paying around 18,000 rand for a day. Just to go watch it for a day, to walk around the hallowed turf of Augusta National.
Wow.
But it really is just more than a golf tournament. It's a very special place. And every year, I always try and make it like a fresh, interesting way of covering this. But it is just one of those golf tournaments you got to watch, even if you don't like golf. Just the way it's done. It's just a big show. It really is. It's a golf course that you and I will not play. They don't want us there because we're not the right sort. We're not hugely rich. Or even if you're hugely rich, they still won't necessarily welcome you in. It's an incredible place of history, and it's like a made-for-TV event. It is the only major played at the same course every single year, and these guys have basically carved up their own little piece of golfing history, and they build on it each year. So to look at the favorites for this week, as far as a playing front, Jordan Spieth, he's got a little bit of form coming into it, and he is a double winner there, so he'll be your favorite by the bookies. McIlroy, of course, won the Arnold Palmer Invitational, so he's looking pretty good. World number one, Dustin Johnson, is ranked third with the bookies. Justin Thomas, who is still pretty hot, even after last year's great year. Tiger Woods, interestingly enough, is ranked as the fifth favorite.
Really?
So sure. Tiger's won 4 times there.
Wow.
And Well, just to go through the list, there's been 17 players who have won multiple occasions. Jack Nicklaus is the king of the Masters. He's won 6 times. He even won it when he was as old as 46, back in 1986. Arnold Palmer, he won 4 times. Tiger Woods won 4 times. And then Mr. Gary Player won 3 times. There's some real, like, the who's who of golfing history here, or the multiple winners. So, Tiger's 5th favorite. Now, people are saying, yep, he's back, and all that kind of stuff, and the Masters is going to be great for him because there's no rough, and you can spread off the tee a little bit. But it all comes down to the fact that Tiger hasn't had the cut and thrust of tournament play for quite some time. And even if he does, everything goes according to plan. That back nine on Sunday will probably eat him mentally. That's what I'm saying now. I don't want to see that happen. As we've all been saying, it's been so great having Tiger coming back. And to see him 5th favorite of the bookies, very interesting. Justin Rose after that, then Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson, and Jason Day. They round up the top 10 on your favorite picks. But remember, John Rahm is a guy who had a great year last year and looking to capitalize on the majors this year. Ricky Fowler is bound to come right essentially at some stage. Sergio Garcia, the defending champion, I wouldn't look for too much out of him. But what about Henrik Stenson? There's a guy who really should do so much better at this event. Hits the ball a long way. He does hit a draw. A lot of the holes do bend from right to left. That's why Bubba Watson's cut is always a good thing. But Henrik Stenson, something about this course, just kind of, he seems to blow out a little bit. But he's in his 40s, he's a great golfer, he's won a British Open, he has done the business of the big stage. So I think as an outside bet, he could be a good one to watch there. So I'll be bringing you more news as we get closer to Thursday. Thursday, of course, the first day. But Wednesday, we'll see the Par 3 tournament, which is one of those other unique Masters things. Where, well, it's not overly competitive. Basically, the guy who wins that never wins the tournaments. There's also that. There's history around that. But also, people just have, like, their kids caddying for them, or their girlfriends, or someone they met at Hooters the night before.
Oh.
And that will be the Masters this week. In rugby news, over the weekend, there was a lot of Super Rugby on the go. The Lions, unfortunately, well, they didn't play so super against the Crusaders. They went down on Easter Sunday. A very somber match, 14-8. The Bulls, they were too good for the Stormers in the local derby. That was 33-23. The Brumbies and Waratahs bored everyone to sleep. 17-24, Waratahs winning that one. And the Blues and the Sharks. Well, what a game this was. Everyone thought the Sharks can't beat Aussie teams. They'll definitely not beat the New Zealand team. Well, they won 63 points to 40. An amazing turnaround there. 63 to 40. Robert Dupree with 13 out of 13 kicks. You know, it's always one thing to be able to run the ball and score amazing tries. But when your fly half gets the basics right, your team is always going to prosper. The Hurricanes thrashed the Rebels, as many would expect. 50 points to 19. And the Chiefs were too good for the Highlanders, 27-22. Of course, cricket is still dominating. Well, I haven't done the sport since Thursday because of the holidays. But out of nowhere, Buff Lehman decided he was going to resign.
This is quite a big deal, Ben, because you said Buff is...
Well, all the Aussies had a cry. They had this well-thought-out cry.
A lot of crying. It was ridiculous.
Bunch of little bitches. So I put together this video yesterday, which Cricket Australia promptly blocked. But if you go onto my Facebook account, Follow the Bounce on Facebook, you'll see a video I put together of the orchestrated cry session.
They blocked it off of YouTube?
Well, I used image of a press conference, which... From my understanding, it's not illegal, but you know, if you say bad things about Aussie cricketers, they don't like that.
Wow, so they blocked it, huh?
It's on Facebook, though. People are looking at it, they're sharing it, they're enjoying it. They all had a bit of a cry, and they all said nothing, and it's all like, wah, poor me. Such a little bunch of girls. And I take that back. Little girls are people of substance. These people are just such little... Oh, it's just so annoying. But Buff Lehman, yeah, he decided to resign, saying it was the right thing to do, blah, blah, blah. He again sort of like covered his back by saying, I had no prior knowledge of this stuff. But it was quite interesting. One of the reporters, because some of the questions have been really terrible, some of them have been really good. So while Buff was addressing the media, they were saying, so this is an isolated incident. And then he goes, yeah, it was. So he said, well, how did you know what was happening? It's like, well, I saw it happening on the big screen. It's like, well, how do you know it's an isolated incident then if you knew what was going on? So these guys, they think their story is bulletproof, but everybody just keeps poking holes in it. And these Aussie cricketers, it's just the continual shame they're bringing on themselves every time they try to talk. David Warner, who basically came out looking like English was his fourth language over the weekend, he just got up and left. The questions became too difficult. He literally stood up, he walked out, had a little cry. And of course, he brought his wife into it to make it even more, you know, sad. But his wife actually said it's mostly because of her that he did go for the ball tampering.
What?
She didn't say as many words, but basically... because she took the whole Sonny Bill Williams thing so hard, and she was always crying every day, obviously it filled him with rage. Now I'm filling in the dots here for you. Obviously filled him with rage, so much so he really wanted to beat the South Africans in any way, shape or form. And we saw the way he was batting. It was all heart over head. And he decided that to go to the ball tampering because he really wanted to beat them. Mostly because he was just so pissed off how his wife was crying every day.
Wow.
What a strange, weird story. But in the actual cricket, well, the Proteas did very well. They got 488 in the first innings. Aussies bundled up at 221. The follow-on was not enforced because the SA bowlers needed a rest. So much so they needed a rest that they weren't in a batter even longer yesterday. 344 for 6 declared. Faf du Plessis finally got 100, which was really good news. And a close of play yesterday, Australia were 88 for 3. So they require another 524 runs. That's obviously never going to happen. Proteas, they're looking to get 7 wickets and with that win the series 3-1. To which the Aussies will go, oh, thank God I can now go home. The Aussies just want to go home. That's all they want to do. In football action from the weekend, there was Nedbank Cup action. And unfortunately, no real big surprises there if you were supporting some of the lower teams. Mamelodi Sundowns beats Cape Town City. That was 2-1. But of course, all eyes were on Ubuntu Cape Town. Were they going to do anything? Were they going to get across against the bigger team? Well, no. They lost to Free State Stars. Penalties took them out there, unfortunately. Kind of the Chiefs, they went through over Baroka FC. Baroka had their chances, just couldn't capitalize. And Maritzburg United, they grew through after beating Bloem Celtic. Man City won over the weekend, and with that, now have a chance to win the league this coming weekend against Man United at home. And that is a really big result for them, because they can not only win the league so early, but to do it at home against Man United, you cannot script anything better for their Premier League season to kind of end on. And finally, Commonwealth Games. It's all happening. We're almost there.
Yeah.
And there's loads of condoms, as always, with all these big events.
Always, big time.
The big thing to quote pre-games is how many condoms. Well, 225,000 condoms, meaning that there'll be 34 condoms per person. So if you're in the Commonwealth Games, you can enjoy that. Plus free ice cream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Condoms and ice cream.
Talk about benefits of being a athlete. Commonwealth Games taking place at the Gold Coast in Australia. And it's basically a watered-down version of the Olympics without any real star athletes outside of maybe a few events here and there.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, it's just bored for Tuesday.
All right. We've got a couple of interesting things happening today. Dumi Solindi and Dumi Morake are going to come in a little bit later on, 8 o'clock this morning. So we'll have some fun with them. And Helena Wasserman is going to join us. She's the editor of Business Insider. And you know, business publications have changed a lot in the last couple of years, and they continue to change. And Business Insider is something that I became aware of and was interested in some time ago. And I thought we'd find out what the difference is between Business Insider and all the other publications, and also see what's going on in the world of business publications. Find out who's surviving, who isn't. Find out what kinds of stories people care about, which kinds of stories people don't. And where the money's going. I mean, certainly if you can have, you know, 10,000 influential readers, that's probably better than having 100,000 readers who don't buy the publication, who might have just fallen off the radar. So we'll find out from Helena what the hell's going on there with the Business Insider, and just generally, there might be some comments about the media.
True.
All of that and more coming up in a little while. But first, let's go to Said by Sia. It's your dose of inspiration for the morning. What do you have for us today, Sia?
Oh, this one I'm so, so excited about. I actually was on YouTube this past weekend and I found this clip, oddly enough, by Reese Witherspoon. I never thought I'd be quoting Reese Witherspoon, the actress, for inspiration on Said by Sia. But it really, I love when I learn something or I find out about something from a different point of view. And we talk about these things very commonly on the segment, things like worrying and things about things like just being happy and letting go and relaxing. And so Reese, for me, just put worrying and the need for relaxing in a whole new different way. In this clip, she talks about how scientifically it is proven that actually people don't really care about us. So why do we have to care or worry about people who don't even think about us much? So she puts it more eloquently. And so this is the clip for Said by Sia this morning.
Somebody said something smart to me, that there's the human capacity to think of another person is about 30 seconds. So if you're spinning there and you're going, I said the dumbest thing, usually the person that you're so worried that they're judging you is going, I need need a sandwich. That's very... Isn't that freeing?
Reassuring.
So you're so worried that they're judging you, but they're actually just thinking...
They're thinking about themselves.
Am I tired?
Yeah. See, isn't that just short and, like, so true at the end of the day? If it really is going by science, the fact that a lot of people actually don't really put much thought into what others are thinking. So if you're sitting in a meeting and you're trying to think, oh my gosh, I need to impress, I need to speak a certain way. Those people are thinking about their own damn selves and how, oh shucks, I have to cook when I get home, or oh, I'm going to be stuck in traffic for 2 hours. So why do we have to stress and worry about people who aren't thinking about us? That's not concerning
ourselves.
It's
such a good thing to remind ourselves about all the time.
It's so sobering.
And also just to make us realize maybe we're not so narcissistic after all. No. That's just how we're wired. We could only care about ourselves because it's the most important thing.
Well, that's it.
So this morning when you get back into the office and you're thinking Sarah's judging you. Nope. Sarah's just thinking about how she's going to make it in time for her kids' concert and also make dinner tonight. So this morning said by Sarah's, stop worrying about people who don't worry about you.
She said the average human's capacity for thinking about someone other than themselves
is 30 seconds.
That is ridiculous.
Look at how much we actually, other than that, we're concerning ourselves about our own lives.
So self-absorbed.
But I like it. It's a refreshing way to look at the day today.
A refreshing way to look at the day, but an awful indictment of humanity.
Oh, that's how we are, though.
All right. Just over a month to go before Chance the Rapper performs live in South Africa. You can catch him along with Shane Eagle, Nadia Nakai, and Frank Casino at the Castle Light Unlocks concert. It's happening at the Ticket Pro Dome in Joburg. It's all happening on the 30th of April, and the next day is a public holiday, so there is no reason for you to miss out. Get your tickets at CompuTicket now for the Castle Light Unlocks concert. You don't want to miss it. This Castle Light Unlocks exclusive is happening 30th of April. Put it in your diary and get those tickets immediately, otherwise you're going to run out of time, right? Don't miss it. If you want to, by the way, if you want to hear what's going on with, because we don't play a lot of music here. We play music in between the podcasts, really. But the one show that we do have that is music is O'Neill.
Not just music, live music, no.
It's live music. It's collaborative music. It happens there and then. It's very different to anything you'll find anywhere else. So we're very proud of that show. Make sure you don't miss O'Neill Africa Experience. It's on every Friday on cliffcentral.com, and you can get the podcasts. If you want to have a taste of what the show is, do yourself a favor. Download one or two of these shows. Take a listen. Might be exactly what you're looking for. That's the O'Neill Africa Experience on cliffcentral.com. It's Fridays in the afternoons, but you can also get the podcast anytime you like.
This is cliffcentral.com.